Welcome to the Lifehouse Message Podcast. Please make sure to follow or subscribe to this so that you can get all the latest messages. We hope that you are inspired, empowered, and encouraged by the message today. Let's enjoy.
Hello everyone, how are you? It's Pastor Rod here in Tokyo, and we're doing a new series in July on God's healing power. I love this topic. This is one of my topics because God has healed me of so much. I've received physical healing, emotional healing, healing in my past. Wow, healing everywhere. And I love to share this with you. And today we're just going to talk about this question of God's desire to heal. One of God's names in the Old Testament is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And so as I go around the world and people say, what sort of God is God? What sort of Jesus is Jesus? I say he's a healing God. He's creator God, he's savior God, but he is a healing God. Within his name and his character is actual healing. When he comes close, there is healing. There is something really, really good. I'm going to share my story at the end of this message, but I want to share right now one story from the Philippines. I've got a lot of stories from around the world because I've prayed for a lot of people. It doesn't make me great, it makes God great, but I have had the opportunity to pray for people. And one of them was in southern Philippines in a city called Butuan. And in this city, we were doing outreach, we were starting a church and starting small groups, and this family came begging and said, please, would you come and pray for our boy who's dying? He's going to die. And so we went there, and it was in the heat of the day. We got there, it was a little hut. It was no more than a hut, like a thatched hut. Maybe there was some cardboard around, and I said, where is he? And he said, oh, he's in the back, sort of back area. And so I had to get on my hands and knees, really hot day, really, really steamy hot inside there. It just got hotter and hotter, and I crawled through the crawl space into a back room, and all of a sudden I saw this poor boy. This poor boy had boils all over his body, head, arms. As much as I could see, he was filled with these lumps and he was looking like he was going to die. It was just really, really critical. And I just prayed for him. I said, Jesus, I pray for this boy. I pray for healing. I'm praying with all my heart and asking God to touch him and healing. And I just looked at him and I didn't see anything change except maybe his eyes sort of fluttered a bit like he was receiving something. And I prayed again, and then I just really had a flash to say to the parents, here's some money, go and buy some green vegetables, go and make soup and feed him some broth, just because they said he hadn't eaten for days, like he was really going to die. And so I gave them a bit of money, and I went out and I said, I'll come back tomorrow. And I came back the next day, and as I came to their little hut, just in a terrible situation, I came to the house. There was nobody around. I passed by a basketball court. Some boys were playing basketball on a little half court. And I got to the house. There was nobody there. And I called out and there was no answer. And I crawled through the crawl space and I got to the back room and he wasn't there. He wasn't there. There was nobody in the house. And I honestly thought the worst thought, you know, like, maybe he died and they're at a funeral or something. Like this is my level of faith right now. Like, whoa, what's going on? He just wasn't there. And I came out of the house, crawled out, and I called on a neighbor and I said, where is this family that lives here? And they said, oh, they're at work. I said, well, what about the boy? What about the boy? And they said, oh, he's over there. See the boy playing basketball? That's him. And he was actually healed. Praise God. There was no boils. I mean, he's actually playing like with energy and strength and healed. And I saw a miracle, the healing power of Jesus. I love Jesus. I love his healing power. And I will always say it, even though some people may not find their healing, I'll keep praying, I'll keep believing, because that's what we're supposed to do. Now, I want to tell you a story from the Bible that I love very much. It's a leper. Leprosy is in the Bible is not necessarily what we call leprosy, but it's a skin disease serious enough that they are cast out of their community. So a husband is cast out from his family, or a wife, or a child. They're actually removed from the family because it was also seen as an issue of sin. Now, we know today that's absolutely false, but that was a view not of Jesus, but in the New Testament times. And so we come to this story where in Mark chapter 1, right at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, and it says, now a leper came to Jesus, came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, there's so much in this first sentence. First of all, this leper had a lot of guts to turn up in public in front of the famous new rabbi Jesus, in front of everybody, in front of the community, and fall down and speak to him as though he had self-esteem. Speak to him as though he was a real person. Now, of course, I'm using sarcasm here because he is. But that was the attitude of the society, that he was not even supposed to be in the open area. He was not even supposed to talk to a rabbi or be in any area. But he was desperate. He was hungry. And I love this man already because there is a desire to be healed. I knew that desire when I came to Christ. I wanted to be healed of so many things. I wanted to come to Jesus and cry out, help me. I need help. Would you help me? Can you help me? Will you help me? And so, although I've never had leprosy like this man, I feel I relate to his level of gutsiness, his level of openness, his level of not caring what others think anymore. I need to be healed. I sort of understand his heart and see it. And I want to say, this man would have had over his life the words leper and sinful man. Over his life, there would have been names put over him, absolutely identity names put on him, that in his own heart he knew was not true. Come on, everyone. We know God can break identity names. We know God can do this, and God wants to do it, which is what this story is all about. And so he comes to Jesus and he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, straight away, he doesn't ask, do you have the power to heal me? This is the first thing. He's actually coming with a revelation that Jesus actually has the power. And we know that God has the power to heal us because God is a creator. And God created our being. It says in Psalm 139, he created my inmost being, my DNA. He created everything in me. God is a creator and God is a healer. Jehovah Rapha. God, nature is healing. So his question to Jesus is not, do you have the power to heal me? That question was already solved or settled in his heart. But the question he comes with is something different. Now in Mark it says that as soon as he'd spoken, Jesus moved with compassion. This is verse 41. Jesus moved with compassion. Now this story is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All three eyewitnesses to the gospel talked about this story or heard about this story and wrote it down. It was an impacting story that a leper would come and so arrogantly before everyone say, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now you've got to understand, a person from a low-class background back in Jesus' day saying that looks arrogant, but it's not. It's just desperation. It's a different attitude. And I believe that God wants us to have this attitude. And Jesus moved with compassion. Now, this word compassion means guts. It is actually the New Testament word for gutsiness or guts. Deep, deep, deep level. Compassion is guts or intestines. That's the word. I'm not making this up. This is real. It's the word. Jesus feeling it deep in his intestines, in his guts. Jesus moved with compassion. I love that because God has compassion for us. Amen. God loves us and he wants to heal us, which is what this story is all about. Jesus moved with compassion, reached out and touched him even before he said anything. This is amazing. It shows to me that God wants to touch us before he wants to heal us. In other words, God wants to do something in all of our life, in our mind, our heart, our body, the touching power of God. So Jesus comes up and even before he answers the question, he touches him. Now, Jesus is not supposed to touch this man. In their day, you're not supposed to touch these sort of people. These people. There's something really, you know, you've got to stay away. And if you touch them, you become defiled and you need cleansing, which could take a number of days. Like, it's quite a serious thing to touch someone like this. But Jesus doesn't care about any of those human rules. Well, he does care, but he's not going to obey them. He is the Lord of humanity, and he's going to come and touch whoever he wants to touch. Let me tell you, I have seen people touched by the power of God from every religious group in this world that I know. From all over Asia, I've been all over Asia and all over Oceania, praying for thousands and thousands of people from all different religions, and I've seen thousands touched by Jesus. Thousands touched because he loves them. Why does Jesus heal? Because he loves. Doesn't it mean that they need to have some faith first? Well, don't know. Doesn't it mean they need to be a Christian first? No, that's definitely not the answer. The answer is God heals because God loves. And Jesus loved this man and immediately wanted to bring touch into this environment of rejection. Into this situation, Jesus is just saying, where every touch, let's say he touched him on the hand. It doesn't say, it just says he touched him, probably hand or arm. And it showed this man immediately acceptance, warmth, compassion, humanity, love. It just meant so much for this man without touch to be touched. And I think that we need to have a heart ready in worship and prayer and Bible reading to be touched by a loving Jesus. Jesus touches whoever comes. I have discovered this. As I said, many different religions have come and they've said, I don't believe in Jesus, but can he heal me? I've had this many, many times. And my answer is yes. He's a healing God. In fact, when we lived in Thailand for 4 years, my message to the villagers of Thailand was, there is a creator God who wants to heal you, and his name is Jesus, and he also wants to forgive you. So healing is way up front in a lot of cultures of the world. And so Jesus doesn't even ask the backstory of this guy. Like, there's no counseling here. It's not like, well, how did you get leprosy and how long have you had it? Did your parents have it? No, Jesus doesn't care about the backstory in the sense of healing. Jesus does care about backstory, but that's for healing for other things, which we're going to talk about in future weeks. God healing the mind, the heart, the internal, that's coming. But here right now, God wants to heal without talking about the backstory. Now, this is really important. And when I was in Thailand, there was a terrible disease back then called HIV, AIDS. And I had to go to many, many people and pray for them. And I was very cautious and it was a significant thing, but I had to pray for a lot of people. And the issue of backstory doesn't count when you're facing a person dying or you're facing a person in agony. It doesn't matter how they got it. It matters what God wants to do. Amen. Let's give God a big praise. And I prayed for many people with AIDS, and some were apparently healed and some were not. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But I want to say God wants to heal irrespective of our past. What a good God is Jesus. Hey, isn't he wonderful? He's just amazing. And so Jesus finally speaks. And here's his words. It's actually two words in the Greek, only two words. One word, I am willing, which is what Jesus says, is just one word, thelo. You don't need to know Greek, but it's just one word. It's like so short. This Jesus' whole answer is in one word, thelo, which means I want to. I want to. I want to. Does Jesus want to heal us? Yes. Why would we be any different than this leper? Why would we be in any condition different? And this is where we need to be careful we don't become victims and think, well, other people can get healed, but not me. I think we need to open our hearts to God and say, I believe you can heal me, and I believe you want to heal me, thelo. And this next word is be cleansed, which is God acting on us. So the leper doesn't heal himself. The leper needs a supernatural invasion of God's power. When God healed me, I didn't heal myself. I just allowed God to come in and do a miracle in various parts of my life. I don't heal, but I believe he heals. This is really important because our attitude is be healed, be cleansed, a supernatural moment, a supernatural change. I believe it in Jesus' name. It's coming our way. Amen. So Jesus says, I am willing, be cleansed, which is another one word. So Jesus has very few words when it comes to the answer. It's not a big long rationale about, logic here and rational there and these scriptures. No, it's just willing, cleansed. And I think that we need to have the simplicity of saying, God, if you're willing, you can heal me, and wait for his healing touch. You know, there's just something about Jesus that represents God. God is Jehovah Rapha. Hebrews 1:3 says the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. What sort of God is God? Well, look at Jesus. Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. Jesus and the Father are one. And so this whole thing is, what is God like? What is God's heart like? He is represented by Jesus in this story. So I'm going to ask some questions, and I'm going to come to my final story. The questions I'm going to ask, it's a bit hard actually, because I don't have the answers for these questions. Number one is, so why aren't all healed? I get this all the time. I've been a pastor for 40 years. I'm used to this question. I'm ready for this question. My answer is, I don't know. I really don't know. But I know some are healed, and I pray for that. Why are some healed instantly and some not? I don't know. I've seen both. I've seen some people healed instantly, like that little boy in Butuan, who the next day was truly healed. And I've seen other people over a period of months get healed. And so I don't know. But I pray that people would have tenaciousness in their heart to keep desiring healing. Is it a backstory? Is the reason why I'm sick or not healed? I don't know. Is it DNA? Is it my family? Is it something I did? Is it, in this case, was it a sin? I don't know. But you see, God is not asking for the backstory. He's asking for our hearts. And I think it's really important that we get this correct in our lives. So someone's not healed, it doesn't mean they're sinful. Someone is healed, doesn't mean they're not sinful. Those things are not involved with this. I don't understand it, but I don't know. But we're not going to bring it down to cause and effect. Sometimes it could have that, but I don't know. I'm not a doctor, and I really don't know. But this is what I do know. And this is, as a spiritual leader, as a pastor of all these years, this is what I do know. You ready for this? I do know I'd rather be in a church community that believes in healing. I'd rather be with pastors that pray for the sick, and everyone who prays for the sick. I'd rather be in a church that believes in the healing power of Jesus. I'd rather be in a church praying for the sick. I'd rather be in that environment. I'd rather be reading the word for what it says, that Jesus says, I am willing, be cleansed. I'd rather be that. Secondly, I'd rather stay in hope and believe for healing moments. What does that mean? It means if you haven't been healed yet, I believe there could be a healing moment. That's why we're going to, in a moment, take communion. I believe it's a healing moment every time I take it. I believe in healing moments. I believe in, whether it's instantaneous or a journey of healings, like could be 100 mini healings, micro miracles, whatever we want to call it. I believe in moments of healing because I believe in hope. I believe there is a hope that God wants to heal us. And the last thing I want to say is, I'd rather pray for healing more often. And if I pray for healing more often, I'm going to see more healings. I do know that. I do know that, that the more people you pray for, the more healings they will experience and you will experience. It's all about keep on praying. It's all about, there's an opportunity. Let's pray again and let's pray again. And someone says, I've been prayed for. And we say, we can pray again, can believe for healing moments. If they're not healed, there's no judgment. There's no issue. We're not talking about backstory. We are talking about a moment where God could heal us again. So let me tell you about my story. It's going to take a few minutes as we finish. And I'm going to take communion with you. So where you are, if you'd like to get a little bit of juice of some sort and a little biscuit or something. Over here, got some Japanese tea because I'm in Japan. And a rice cracker because I'm also in Japan. And this is what we do in our church. Some people say, why do you do that? And my answer is, well, the Japanese don't really like the grape juice. It tastes like medicine. And I actually agree. So when I was living in Thailand, we used to use Coca-Cola and sticky rice. And in Japan, why do we do that? Because I think if Jesus was here in Japan with us, he'd love to do this. In fact, 500 years ago in church history, the early Christians used Japanese tea and rice cracker. So that's the why. It's not what we use, it's the heart. So in my story, I'm going to talk about how I was healed in my left hand. Now, I'm left-handed, so I play sports. I used to play a lot of racket sports, squash and tennis, and also left-handed. I write a lot with my left hand, and all of a sudden, I began to get these terrible blisters in my left hand, early 20s, a younger Christian. It blew up, and if those blisters broke, there was water. It was very embarrassing, very, very embarrassing, and it was painful. It was red, and it was just breaking, and it was just all over every finger and all over the palm, and my right hand was fine. Isn't that weird? But it was my left hand, and I had this terrible outbreak of what was later called psoriasis. And so this terrible thing in my hand, which the doctors later said was DNA, was caused by family background. Don't know about that, but that's what they said. And so here I am. And also, I was a young medical professional. I was talking to doctors about our drugs. And so as a young man, I was in my early 20s, believed in Jesus. I started to see communion as a moment that God could heal my hand. And so here's a scripture. I'm going to share some scriptures with you as we start to get ready to take communion together. If you'd like to get some drink and something to eat. It says here, 1 Peter 2:24, He, Jesus, bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness, because by His wounds we've been healed, which is from Isaiah 53. And so the concept is, I believe that by Jesus' wounds, His stripes, His whips, there was a healing power made available in the atonement, in the cross and resurrection. I believe that. So as a young Christian, my hands blowing up and all these problems, I would come to church every Sunday. We used to do communion every Sunday. That's an interesting thought. And I would take these things and I would say, Lord, all of this goes into all of me. All of this food and drink goes into all my cells. If it's healthy food and drink, it's going to go to all my cells. And I believe that as I take it, your healing power can flow into my whole body, including my left hand. And so every Sunday I would come, and with expectations I would take it. We're going to take it in a moment together. I would believe every Sunday a healing moment, but I'd go home disappointed. But you know what? I believe there was always next week. I believe there was always next communion. And I never gave up. Now, this went on for 1 year, and there's no improvement in my left hand. People, why don't you give up, Rod? Like, why don't you? It's just DNA. It's just, and I could have, and God would still have loved me, right? But I just really wanted to be healed, and it was embarrassing, and I'm left-handed. And I really wanted healing, and I was really desperate. I said, God, I believe You have the power, and I believe You want to heal my hand. So 18 months later, or 1.5 years after the beginning, it's still bad. It's no better, not even a bit better. Like you think, well, is it a journey? No, it's not even better. And so it's just a terrible situation. And as a medical rep, I spoke to doctors and medical specialists in the skin area, because that's my job, or was part of my job. And I said, hey, doc, you got any medicine? Any new medicines coming on the market? And they would give me some samples. And I don't know if they're supposed to, but anyway, just simple little samples. But nothing worked. So I'm not against medicine. Praise God for doctors and medicine. Praise the Lord. It's an amazing moment to be alive, right? But I wasn't healed. And so 1.5 years and heading towards 2 years, and I'm still going every Sunday communion. I'm believing for a healing moment. Now, it was 2 years after it first started. And there's one day, one Sunday, everything changed. I took the communion as normal. I looked at my hand as I did every week. It looked the same. But that particular night, 2 years after, I noticed at night, on the Sunday night, I noticed the redness had left my hand. I still had blisters, but I noticed that something significant had happened. And the next morning when I woke up, there was no blisters and no redness, and it never came back in these 38 years or whatever it is. Isn't that amazing? Give God a big praise. Now, I've got to be careful. This is not works. It's asking God to heal me again. Is everyone okay with that? It's not like I worked it up for 2 years. No, no, no. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I stayed in the concept of healing moments. So as we finish, I want to say to you, God wants to heal you. He can heal you, has the power to heal you, has the heart to heal you, the guts to heal you. He wants to touch you. He wants to speak to you. And right now is an opportunity for healing. I don't know anything else, but we just keep praying. So we're going to pray right now. That communion is all about Jesus. Jesus went to the cross, died for us. He was whipped and beaten, shed his blood, rose again after 3 days. And what we do is we celebrate what he did for us. So we're going to take the little bit of cracker first. So if you've got a little bit of biscuit there, if you want to just run and get something, or if you've got a biscuit, you can use whatever, because it's not the emblem, it's the heart. Remembering what Jesus has done for us. You ready? I'm going to pray and give thanks to Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you suffered for us. You were whipped and beaten and put on the cross. And Lord, by your stripes, we're healed. That's what your word says. And I pray right now for healing power. As we remember you, we remember the cross and the resurrection. And we take this together in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's pray for healing and divine restoration in Jesus' name. And Jesus, you shed your blood. We drink this Japanese tea in remembrance of your sacrifice and your resurrection. I'm praying for healing power in every part of our life as we give you glory. Thank you, Jesus. Let's drink together. Oh, that's very nice. We like Japanese tea. And let's just pray for anyone that would like to receive Jesus into your heart right now. You know who you are right now. You're believing in him and something's happening, or you've been away, you want to come back. Let me pray for you right now. I'm going to count to three. You ready? One, two, three. Lord, I pray people's hearts would be open to receive your forgiveness and your love and your purpose and your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening today. We hope that God was able to speak to you through the message. If you consider Lifehouse your church home, or if you were blessed by these messages, then why not consider generously supporting us? Simply go to mylifehouse.com/give and find the giving way that works best for you. Have a blessed day, and we'll catch you all next time.